how the fuck these niggas hiding for the whole June? Oh, that was my man, my bro, friend to the show, man. Somebody I got a deep relationship with, you know, that I support. And he supports us, man. It's his first time on the show. Need everybody to give it up. Y'all just heard the song Federal. Go stream that right now on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, everything. My man Tour.
Come on, let's get it. The biggest West Side.
You literally somebody I saw, you know, from an early age. We were just talking about it, off camera, off mic. Literally, like, you know, from an early age, you know, with your talent. And it was like, it was apparent that you could rap. Like, you just had the raw ability. But now, you know, at a later age, you done put it all together. Mm-hmm. Like, you done put the song making, the freestyle ability, lyrical shit, the melodic shit. Like, you put it all together. And now, you know, you fell forward into like a lot of dope situations off your ability, but now it's like a thing where everybody see it. Yeah. Like it's undeniable now. And you know, I was telling Bus, like, I hit you up all the time, like every 2 weeks, and we're like, dog, you the one, like, yeah, you one of them niggas, like, you the gifted, you know what I'm saying? And for me, that represents, like, you know, Wale brought that to the culture, but that's basically like an elite class of rappers that's basically like born to do this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, can adapt to any style of rap. Right. So for y'all that's familiar with Tour, y'all probably seen it with Meek and Top. Y'all seen it with Leonard Fournette, Boogie Nation. And now he a flagship artist for Dope Records. So he's going to be the one to forge, you know, Dope Records forward. And I think it's like a super dope situation, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate you.
You know, you've been one of the hottest in Philly for a while, and now it seems like everything really coming together. So, like, kind of tell us and tell the audience about, like, the space that you're in right now and, like, how kind of everything formulated and came together.
I'm in a space where it's, like, just consistency. Shit, I feel like I lacked over the years. It's, like, just give them street consistency, back-to-back shit, like, singles, projects, features, shit I wasn't usually doing. I'm in a space where it's like I was trying to compete with the city too over the last couple of years. Like, you feel me? Like, see, yeah. I know I'm the best lyrical right now. It's like, I'm trying to compete with the world. You feel me? You're not going to mention another artist from Philly when you say this, he hotter than Lil Baby, but you will mention 12 Philly people. Like, I want to be able to talk to the babies, the dirts. Don't just compare me to the city no more.
Right.
I feel like I really want to make real music.
Yeah. So, kind of going back to, like, out west and then, like, coming forward. Out west was kind of like a moment where everybody took notice of you. And that was like a song, you know, million on YouTube, millions of streams, all that. And it opened a lot of doors for you. So, like, from there to, like, Federal, kind of take us on, like, that journey of, like, how you decide, like, what song y'all want to push and get behind, what producers you want to work with, all that. Like, talk about, like, the creative process from, like, out west to now.
All right, so out west was like, it was recorded at LA, it was out of state, it was at Atlantic Records. I feel like it got more out west and world tour in general, the whole project.
Yeah,
out west,
great project.
Yeah, I feel like it got like a more, like, I want to say, not positive, but like a happy, it's more of a joyful music.
Yeah.
Whereas though the last project I dropped over the last couple years, I got back to the city to the gritty. You feel me? Tied my hoodie up and got in that booth and start talking that shit again. Like,
yeah,
just pure angle, flashy, fly shit. It's like shit that if you from the hood, you can relate to.
So right.
Only for the trenches shit was like a separation factor from world tour. Like, I want niggas to know I still got that world tour shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
But don't never think I ain't got that trench talk.
Right.
Back to back, I can give you that shit every project.
Yeah, for sure. And to that point, you know, we played Federal as like the intro. Like, I asked him, like, yo, we gonna play a song for the intro. Like, what y'all wanna hear? Federal, like, it's like unanimous, like Federal, and that's what I was going to play, Federal. Yeah. So it's just one of them joints where it's like you created like a moment, beside from like just being a song, I feel like you created a moment to where it's like people like, oh shit, like Tour do this, do that shit too?
Yeah.
To where it's like your energy was different than like a lot of your other songs. So right. Talk about that song in particular, the creation of it, and like, you just was like,
In a different
space on that record.
I feel like Federal, I had to rock a lot of my niggas around me way more often in the lab. Like, I'm real strategic when it comes to creating. Like, if somebody phone my vibe or if they getting out the studio, female, homie, anybody, yeah. I feel like the vibe ain't there, you got a rule, 100%. And I feel like when I made Federal, everybody that was there, it might have been 30 people there, ain't nobody had to be.
Right.
Everybody's energy was right where that shit needed to be at. Yeah. Long Live Gucci, the rapper, he was like one of the influencers today. Like, I was stopping on Federal coming out to hear her. He like, go back in there right now.
Right.
Give it to these niggas, right? Like, I was,
yeah.
Federal was a whole different process of creating. It was like, get these niggas that pain that they like. I feel like it's easy to rap like that. It'd be hard to rap how I rap.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not do the shit that I feel like they do? They put me hard time in. That shit effortless to me. I'm gonna show them I can do that too. That shit ain't nothing. So
I'm right.
Like, it was more like categorized like that. I want to show niggas I can jump in their lane too.
Right. Like, I remember even when, like you put the snippet on IG, and that was like a thing. Cause niggas like, where the fuck is, I'm like, well, where the fuck is this record at?
Yeah.
Like, and it just turned into a thing to where it's like, yo, you know, you fast forward down like 5-6 months later, you know, it's like 270,000 views, like just straight organic. Like just off of the, you know, off of the fact that people knowing that it's out.
Yeah.
And I think it puts you like, you know, you was already there for me, but I think for everybody, open motherfuckers' eyes and like really cements it like, nah, you wanted them, like you wanted them ones. Like.
Yeah. See, one thing I realized, like when you talk about certain shit, like when Baby said, oh, I made a man, my fault, talking about the shit that I bought, I know how I get, like, I felt me. Like, it's like, sometimes you could detach people away from you when you ain't giving them that shit that they used to.
Yeah.
When you from the same shit that they from, sometimes it's easier to relate to them when you give them that simple shit, that shit that they hearing all day, shit they seeing all day.
Yeah, I think a lot of rappers experience that. Like, after the first big album drops, and it's like, all right, like, you know, you've reached success. So it's like, you can't necessarily rap about Jay-Z stuff. So, you know, go get the old album. You
want to hear it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So, yeah, that's always a tough one. You're the flagship artist of Dope Dreams.
Exactly.
You know, shout out to them. They just had a big concert.
For sure.
How did that come
about? So I met with Jamir. Jamir and Steph was just like natural music supporters throughout the last couple years, I want to say, probably just listening, hearing me. And Dope Records, it just was like it was a perfect idea. It really came about of us just feeling like it was the perfect pause marriage of music and hard work. Like, I feel like there's nobody else that could be more dedicated to this shit than my label.
Yeah.
You feel me? I could sign to a major multiple times. I turned them down. Like, I feel like this was the perfect situation. We all from West Philly. We all got bull.
Yeah.
And we gonna fight to all of that shit till we scratching them off and making new bulls.
You right.
We gonna fight through.
So what was it about this situation versus, like, a major situation that was so much more appealing to where you was like, this is what I'm doing?
Company in general, they got real companies. So Dope Records is new.
Yeah.
But Dope Shows is 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Just tried and true.
Like, you feel me? So it's like Atlantic Records been breaking artists for years, or Rock Nation, or Warner Brothers, whatever label, Interscope.
Yeah.
All of them been breaking artists for years, but it's hundreds of artists at a time that be signed to the label. So the artist that you heard that they broke, he one of 100, right. 9 times out of 10.
Right? Yeah.
Whereas though with the Dope Records shit, it was authentic. They not even listening to other people. Like, it's like, we gotta get this growing. Let's see what we can do with this. And I feel like it's perfect to try to get my music worldwide heard. And nobody going more worldwide in the city than Dope Shit, Dope Records.
Yeah, for sure.
You doing 17,500 people, 20,000 people. You feel me? That type of shit can't. That's authentic.
Yeah, no, they did it the right way. Like, when I seen, you know, I already knew about the deal or whatever ahead of time, you know, just because we plugged in or whatever, but to see the way that they did it, like, hiding the show, prime time, everybody already rocking off of, you know, who they seen and everything like that, and then to bring you out and announce that in front of, like, 18,000 people was crazy. So, you know, they made the announcement at the concert, you performed. Tell us about, like, that whole experience. And you shot a video that day.
Yeah.
So tell us about the whole everything.
You shot a video at the
Wells Fargo.
So I showed up to the Wells Fargo a few hours early, just being done. I'm a part of the league. You know, I'm just there to support in general before all the other artists get there. So I was there, and we was just looking at it like, damn, we should make some content out of this shit. This is an empty arena where the Sixers play that.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite players play that. Like, let's really make this shit an experience. You could see if you wasn't there. You won't know what the stadium looked like empty if you wasn't there. You know what it looked like with 20,000 people though.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to give them that. And then just the feeling in general of going on the stage in front of people, it was like one of the moments where it's like, somebody to say they want something until they in front of that shit. You gotta prove that shit. You say you want it. It was 2 minutes before the show. I'm like, damn, I really want this shit. I said this shit too long. It's time to really go out there and prove this shit. You feel me? That's what it was all about. It was just like, go out there and not stutter on one word. Go out there and really let them know this shit for me.
Yeah, 18,000 people, that seems like
a... That's a big deal. I seen artists up there swimming. I ain't pointing out.
They ain't know what to do. Because it's like as a spectator, whether you an artist or not, it's easy to look at it and be like, man, I can't wait till I get that shot, whatever. Then you get it, and it's like, what the fuck? This stage way bigger. This plots is way different. Like, you gotta know your set list. You gotta face them people and still get your shit off.
Yeah, I said like, when we did the roofing thing, like going up on stage, I'm like, we tripped. You know, we fuck tripped. But shit worked out. Like, nah, that shit is real. Like, and you know, like he said before, like he did classes, learning how to public speak and shit like that. And it's like, when you get on stage and you actually connect with them eyes and see them faces and all that, you just like, oh, I gotta entertain you.
Yeah. Like, if it's all that you like, impress me, nigga.
Yeah, impress me, nigga.
I used to freestyle right in front of 60, 20 people, the whole block, different blocks at one time. That shit had never compared to being in front of 18,000 people. You try to convince every person in that room you really a star.
Yeah, right.
That shit for you. So it's like, it's different. Where you know certain bars gonna make the whole room be like, damn, cuz talking that shit.
Right.
It's different when it's 18,000 people. They might not have never heard about the turtle and the hair race. They might not think that's the hottest bar on You feel me? So it's like, that shit a whole different experience. You perform in front of different faces, different races, classes, all that shit.
Right.
If it's rich people, poor people, whites, blacks, Hispanics, just every race in the room, that shit just was a vibe.
Yeah.
Best shit I did so far.
No, for sure. That's kind of like almost like your Beanie Siegel moment. Like when Beans was on the Hard Knock Life tour and it was coming out just ripping. Like, that shit hard, man. It ain't easy to do. So we definitely commend you for being able to get up there.
Yeah.
Like, no, and the thing is, nobody knew you were coming.
I know.
If they knew, you said you found out 2 minutes before?
No, I knew I was performing, but 2 minutes before I knew this is what I wanted to do. Like, all the nervous shit was going by the time I started walking up the stage steps.
Like, yeah, like, they had his slot, like, set up, like, dope show special announcements, so people didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
They just knew that they had something or whatever the case may be to tell them. So for him to get up there in that spot to where it's like nobody's expecting him to be there and rock that shit is like, that shit ain't easy. Like, that shit's serious.
Super serious. I seen them, I told them light that shit up. I turned my back to talk to the DJ. I turned around, that shit really lit up.
Yeah.
I was like, this shit for work. Like, every phone in the fucking crowd on you, like, this shit for work.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I ain't never had a chance to show niggas this really my city neither. Like, everybody talked that this my city shit, whether you're a football player, basketball player, what lane you were.
Nigga, promoter,
barber, be like, I'm here. You feel me? Like, I really want niggas to know this my shit. These connections I built is authentic.
Yeah.
Just like me knowing you for years.
For years.
You feel me? Like, that shit be like real relationship. You can't mimic that shit. Nobody gonna make me like you.
Yeah.
You feel me? Or make me vibe with you.
I was talking about you on Patreon yesterday. We were basically preempting like the interview or whatever. And I was basically talking about, like, you know, our relationship and how I knew you. And I'm like, yo, I always knew like that you was the most talented nigga in the room.
Yeah.
At that point though, you was a kid. So it's like you was still like figuring it out and like honing your craft. So it was a situation where it's like me and Dan was doing these showcase nights, and shout out to Laura because she was helping us with it. We was doing the Thursday night showcase and he would always come rock. And I just knew like this motherfucker can rap better than everybody that's here, but he might not have a song yet, or he might not got 40 people that came to see him that's selling everything else. And then over the years, I just continued to just, you know, follow you, be a supporter. We did a concert together at Voltage, whatever the case may be. And it's just one of them things where it's like, you know, you genuinely support somebody when you believe in a talent, and you just continue to see it elevate and rise. And every single time when people kind of like counted you out, you came right back stronger 100%. Than ever.
100%. This shit like the workout room. Like, you be, you know what I mean? Every time you go up and down, motherfuckers go up and down the week. I got a lot of homies that box, like Regis Purvis, that's one of my real friends. He a professional boxer. He go up and down. This time I seen him and it was like, I'm fighting right now. I'm a little chubby. I need to lose it, but you still gonna have to weigh in at 140. You feel me? Right. I don't care if you 162, you gonna hit, you gotta figure that shit out. I feel like this shit, that should be the extra grind. You feel me? All the shit. Yeah. It's being in them small rooms and going to perform in front of 20,000, just little shit like that is just like a big difference.
Yeah,
I was doing showcases on Thursday night.
Right.
Now on Sunday, on the night of the Grammys, where niggas got a million other things to do, it's 18,000 people in there.
Yeah.
To come watch. You feel me? The show that my label put on.
Yeah. So why do you think, if not this, you know, if you could go into the mind of like Jameer instead, why do you think it was you versus any of the, Philly got 92 million rappers. So it was like, why you versus everybody else?
I mean, it's kind of obvious. I ain't even trying to pop shit. I just feel like I'm better than everybody. Like, you feel me? Like, the whole, like, triple entendres, metaphors, similes, like, real music, lyrical shit, what do they got?
Yeah.
That I can't do. You feel me? I feel like they got, like, I feel like I got shit that they can't do, but I don't feel like it's new artists.
This is very good popping shit.
I'm a real hip hop whiz. I really don't just like, I don't just rap because that shit could get you out the hood.
Right.
Because a few homies said rap, no, I really love music. That moment was like, recreated Kanye, the newest member of the Rockefeller team in my head.
Yeah.
I'm about to come on stage in front of all these motherfuckers, they don't know I'm here, and tell them that shit be like, it's a big difference. Some people don't even know Kanye did that before the Netflix shit.
Yeah.
I seen that when it first
exactly.
I was the first one saying that when that shit happened.
Yeah. So in terms of you know, your skill, we've seen your skill open doors for you. We've seen it, you know, make you go viral. The biggest one, or the first one, kind of where you got everybody's attention was the Sprinter freestyle with me. That joint like went everywhere. Like I just looked, was doing more research, you know, today, looking you up, and it was like this was on 19 different pages. So like
that was one of the biggest joint. Like, he threw me a real, you feel me? It was time we was in the room with 16 rappers. We was like, I'm about to put a beat on. And I always came on top. You feel me? Every single time.
Yeah.
Damn near every artist in the city was in them multiple times. They was in that room and it was like unquestionable, undeniable at the end. They was like, this is different.
Yeah.
That Sprinter shit was like my rule to glory. That shit opened the door for niggas to be like, and then you know, some people in Philly, we from a city where some people need assurance to let a nigga agree.
Right.
A nigga to say, check, this is the best podcast in the world forever. Then me come up here tomorrow, and nigga, I'll be saying it already.
Yeah.
And the whole city would be like, no, this really the best podcast.
Right.
Because, like, you feel me? They didn't need insurance, and I feel like Meek was the perfect person to do that shit. He was running the city at the time. You feel me?
Yeah.
That shit was the perfect person for me.
How did you get around Meek to even be in a position to have that opportunity?
I was getting managed by Top.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I was like 17, 18, like after I met you and all that, I was about to move to college. Top was managing me. And it was like, listen, when you come to Atlanta, I'm going to bring you in as many rooms as possible. You feel what I'm saying? We're going to start to run our set, put our feet on the ground. And it was like, oh, then like the first two times I was with me, like maybe the third time I was with me, he was pulling me from the office.
Right.
Like no extra shit, no planning. Maybe we should do a post today to make you go up. No, right. Just,
like, oh, tour here.
I'm spinning that shit. Like, hold up. He talking that shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's decent. But me gets a lot of flack for like not doing certain things like that.
Right.
It's decent to hear like an organic situation.
Yeah. I want all the artists to know he know who you is. You feel me? If you fighting for me to know who you is, you be that. You got 900 followers. He heard this shit before.
Right.
Meek real in tune to the youth. I mean, it ain't always the best that people don't know that.
Yeah.
You feel me? It's a lot of people that they knew Meek was listening to their shit. They might drop more often.
They might be talking about every day.
You feel me? But he listening. No bullshit. Yeah. He know who all y'all is. Not even lying.
I think that's an important trait for him to have because, you know, for all accounts, you know, I ain't never met Jay-Z, but I know that about him because people that know Jay-Z say he listened to everything.
We were having a conversation about it the other day. We were saying how people in like certain places where they think it disconnected or detached. But in reality, those be the ones that be scouring, looking at all kinds of shit. Where you think they don't know, but this person who's on this podcast, they know about every podcast that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
This person is in this position in rap where you think, oh, he's got a million other things going on. No, he know it. Even the phase on love.
Yeah.
Nigga, I seen that. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these little things.
Drake, the prime example, Drake is a way bigger artist than any artist we talked
about
today. And Drake is still getting on the artists that nobody knows.
Yeah. Drake broke fucking G Herbo a little bit.
Yeah.
He posted the kill shit. He posted a video rapping to kill shit. I'm like, Like, you wouldn't even think, like, just to the consumer, like the average Drake fan, they wouldn't even think that, like, an artist that make the type of music he make would even be listening to, like, the grimiest Chicago drill shit. Exactly. And he was the one that brought it forward. Right. Same thing, like, with the Block Boy JB record.
They had a record. You said, I'm going to my little mouse drill shit.
He kicked that door for young artists, you feel me? That's
a lot. Culture shit. Look at Young Blue and all the, you know, that's a lot of that shit. So it's definitely dope to me because I've seen him get a lot of flack over the years that he doesn't do certain things like that.
But he really do. It's like, damn near everybody that popped over the last 10 years, he kind of has something.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, he tried that shit. He tried it.
Right.
He posted they shit or something, you feel me? Especially if they fired. Most of the people that's fired.
So, you know, as far as like, you know, the culture currency and being associated with Meek and all that, is there anything else like in particular that you could share that you feel like he did that gave you like a leg up versus like some of the other artists in the city?
He just put me in rooms that ain't even comfortable. I ain't even comfortable speaking on camera. Shit be lit though. You feel me? The behind the scenes shit, when they wondering what the littest niggas in the city doing. We'd be playing Grand Theft Auto, but it would be more lit than when you play Grand Theft Auto. The vibes in the room a little bit different. The 42 smoothie hit harder. You feel me? The tree better. That's just how I feel. Like, he definitely put me shit that he probably won't even remember. He did shit he wouldn't remember. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I had conversations with Big Meech on the phone. Damn. Through top. You feel me? Everybody watching BMF this 3-4 years ago. I'm talking 24 hours at a time. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like shit like that is unreplaceable. You feel me? I'm a hood nigga. I started from making a dime and built it up to whatever I built it up to stop and get into this music shit.
Yeah.
So to talk to Big Me, just like, dang, I'm doing shit that old heads from the city that was running around way more paper than me, way more just more lit than me, ain't never get that opportunity to hear that game. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
It's real game every time. Shout out to Big Meech. It was always a real game. He never game.
That's crazy.
Deep around the bush shit.
Yeah. Another viral moment that you had a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Darty Raw.
Yeah, Darty Raw.
You was in, was that Old Studio in South Philly? Was that on Melly Studio?
I'm not sure if it was Old Studio, but it definitely was in South Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was like a joint where it's like, it was a build up, and then you came in a room. And got right to it.
Yeah.
And that's another joint that traveled, went everywhere. In the video itself, you see a lot of Philly familiar faces and everybody got their camera, found their phone out, whatever. Talk about that experience and what that did for you as far as like people respecting your rapping ability.
That experience was a little different. That experience was like, I felt like I was proving, I still was trying to prove myself that people ain't matter to.
Yeah,
like, that's how I look at that. Like, I'm hotter than everybody. I'm hotter than the city posting me, and y'all still ain't convinced. I'm pulling up, man.
Yeah,
I'm in bed. Y'all talking shit. Here I come. I'm on my way down there. That shit was me. Might have been an hour and a half. The shit you see on YouTube might be 20 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
I'm talking about an hour and a half. I never stopped rapping. This shit never stopped until he was like, all right, that's enough. That's enough. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was an authentic situation. It was fun. You feel me? I feel like it was a real spark.
Yeah.
I mean,
so, I don't think you never talked about this. What was, like, some of your inspirations or what even made you want to do music and be involved in it?
My biggest inspiration... later on that showed me that it helped me when I was younger was Jay-Z. Like, I was diehard Lil Wayne fan before it was a Drake.
Yeah.
Drake kind of like sold all that shit up for me.
Yeah.
Like, damn, he got all that shit. I don't like singing, but if I listen to a Drake song, I could get the R&B shit and get the rap shit.
Right.
But Jay-Z is like, over the time when I got older and rewatched Fade to Black, re-listened to the Black album, re-listened to the Blueprints, it's like, undeniable. Hov is the reason why I'm diehard. And like, I gotta get people off this shit, show the world that this shit is achievable.
Right.
So who you? Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, who's some of your other favorite?
Drake is definitely my favorite after Jay-Z.
Okay.
But Lil Wayne, growing up, you couldn't tell me shit about him. You couldn't tell me he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, I was one of them. Like, we banging that Wayne shit soon as it dropped the whole way to school. You feel me? I'm getting in trouble in class for repeating the shit he's saying. No bullshit. Wayne, like, he definitely had
the one who do the videos. The
Frank Lucas?
No, not Frank Lucas. What's the nigga name? He be like, the shit like the remember back in the day. He was talking about the belts. Remember the people had their name belts? Uh-huh. And he was like, I remember you was at that kiosk at the mall getting the name on your belt. He's like, and then in 2000, the belt became digital. You was in class with Lil Wayne there. Like, Lil Wayne really was.
He was ramping for a live shit. He pumped into the
end.
Yeah.
I'm the best rapper alive. That's how I feel.
Yeah. That was a wild dynamic. And it goes back to your whole sparring on that other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Wayne really, remember T.I. was like, I'm the king of the South. And then Wayne really was like, I'm the best rapper alive. And no one really argued either of those sentiments. Yeah. You know, like, that shit is crazy. Yeah. But Wayne really said that, like, well, if he's retiring, then I'm the best out.
Yeah, best rapper alive is the best rapper retired.
And then he really went and like proved the shit. Oh yeah, real shit.
They definitely in my tops.
Yeah. You
know, especially if we talking like numbers and all that shit.
Well, people get mad at me because I put the money on top of it. They hate it. You know what I'm saying?
If we gonna talk numbers and all that shit, you can't be afraid of one.
It's like numbers, impact, influence, all that. Lyrics.
Niggas ain't know what Big Nate was, bro. Like niggas think they got it from Kanye. They probably did, and a little bit older than me.
But
if you 24 and younger,
got it from Wayne.
You got it from Wayne. Wayne was giving you that Baby Nate shit. Hov was talking about it, but people my age weren't listening to Hov. You feel me? Like, on the Allure song, Hov told you, I give him Baby Nate kicks, all the way up Kate wrist. This is 2003.
Yeah.
This shit niggas trying to do right now. You feel me? So, like, I feel like certain niggas just was way ahead of their time. Wayne, Hov, Drake, they niggas that's literally ahead of their time.
Yeah, I mean, when you rich as shit, you can find a way to get clear with everyone else. Yeah, the rich just helps out with that shit.
Definitely do.
That's real shit. Like, I told you, I give Jay a lot of shit all the time. Everybody knows that shit. But when Jay do these situations, like, the verse before, it'd be like, damn, this nigga's really, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, before I still got it.
I need you to mess up. I can go back and hate this nigga. But nah, that's real shit, bro.
He undeniable, bro.
Yeah, definitely.
He made like, not me, because I wasn't wearing jerseys and Tums, but he said, no jersey, I want Tums and a button-up, and niggas was
running out with jerseys. Humongous
7X button-up song.
Yeah, I was, no cat, 7X button-up.
7X button-up. I get a white T-shirt.
Why are you buying up that jersey? You feel me? Like, literally, verbatim.
I say
six bars from Beanie.
I said it on this podcast a lot of times. Beanie has the closest cadence to Biggie Smalls. Like, as far as I'm concerned, when I listen to just Caden, he's the closest rapper to Beanie. I mean, to Biggie, that I've heard myself. To where I know all their shit and know all of their, the way that they structure their raps. And I feel like the way life works is when you get to the end of the book, people will forget all of the chapters in between. So because Jay-Z reached $2 billion, they'll forget about certain chapters where he lost to Nas. Let's just throw that out. Well, he signed Nas to Def Jam. And it's like, no, that's a real thing that happened. And I look at Beans, was like, because Beans didn't end up with these crazy situations at the end, people forget that Beans was one of the best
rappers. That's why I like whatever coming back for Beans right now, I want that shit to come back tenfold then plus some.
Because
it's like, he one of my favorite actors also. Like, it's like Beans had so many lanes for you.
Yeah, somebody the other day was like, they was talking about the Oscars. You know, Will got, he got banned for 10 years from the Oscars.
Yeah, whatever.
And my homie was like, my thing with the Oscars is like, they don't appreciate urban cinema. And I was like, yeah, I've always said that.
Yeah.
And he was like me personally, I look at it like Tupac. Tupac was a really good actor. It was like Tupac and Juice. You could argue that, like, yo, he could have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I'm like, I can't even
argue. That's better than Denzel Man on Fire Rule.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? All day, you could argue that Tupac played a better role in Juice than Denzel, Detective on Inside Man. And that's crazy.
And I was telling him, I'm like, dog, Beans on Paper Soldiers could have been a
star. Oh, man.
And I'm like, Stu was a good actor. Stu was believable as shit.
Right.
He's on my team.
is you crazy?
Yeah, like he was believable as shit.
And going out of state, one thing I realized, bro, we be so caught up in Philly. You'd be surprised how much they be in this shit, bro.
Yeah.
New Orleans would be like, yo, what's up with the news? You'd be like, damn, you know, yeah. That's like, that was in New Orleans.
There was a whole, I was watching an interview. It was somebody that was down with BG, like he was doing the Chocolate City Boys. And they were saying that at one point, the number one influence for rappers in New Orleans was State Property. Everybody was trying to mimic State Property.
When you look at The Wire and you see everybody drenched in State Property clothing, that wasn't like an accident. That shit really infiltrated. Like every game did an interview with, he was like, he was at a party in Compton. He was like, I get in the party, I'm chilling. He's like, I look up, I see Beans just like in the fucking crib. Like, what the fuck? He's like, yo, he's like, this shit all blood territory. Get it? Like, yo, you good? He's like, show me the Mac. This is cold, man.
We can talk about Beans for another 5 minutes in my book, Chad. Like, yeah. Beans get my head sold. We talking about somebody that been through every aspect of struggle.
Yeah.
Like, being fucked up, drug addictions. Well, that, like, and all that shit.
It's funny you bring that up because my man, he always be like, you always say Beans without rap Jay. And I'm like, here's the thing. When Beans and Jay would rap together, it wouldn't be like how you said, you got those songs where it's like, I can pop shit and tell you about diamonds and nice clothes, but I got this gritty hard shit. When Jay would employ Beans for records, it would be, this can't be life. And somehow, somehow.
Once to get a song.
You ain't out. This can't be life and Beans. Like, you're just not. And that would be the thing. So where it's like, you do these records where you talk about hard times and struggle. Beans is going to wrap circles around because he's been through every single thing. Yeah, like, yeah, that shit is real. Yeah, Beans is definitely one of my favorites ever, man.
It's like Beans, kid. Like, Beans is like Philly Yonkers. If
right.
Like, real shit. Beans is the one. Like, yeah. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah. I wish he got more of a respect as far as, like, the all-time, you know what I'm saying, registry.
And I really think it all comes, like, money. Like,
yeah, no, that's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Being for that color, they know every day. And niggas gonna be like, he really is the best, bro. Like, I'm just waiting.
Why do you think it's like that? We talked about that with, like, Ron a little bit from Uncut, where it was basically just like, yo, like, if you're not making money, it's almost like motherfuckers just diminish, like, all your
skill set, everything.
It's flawed. Like, that should be crazy.
I think it's like that because that's the only thing they can't fathom. Like, a person can't understand how to get money if he never got money.
Got it.
Like, unless somebody teach him. Mm-hmm. Like, getting money is something you can know how to do. And there's so many ways to get money. You feel me? Like, you can sell water if you want. You can boil water out the ocean. Make it purify and sell them. It could be nasty as shit, but if you want to get money, 50 cent, nigga, go buy them. You feel what I'm saying? I feel like when you ain't got that shit that separates you from it. Like, if everybody got a rule on and you ain't got the presidential rule on, they gonna feel like they on the same level as you.
Absolutely.
But Beans might have seen every piece of the world there is to see, every piece of tour there is to see, but you're not gonna remember all that because you ain't see it through his eyes. You only looking for the shit you could touch.
Statements, like pieces, yeah.
Pieces, the shit you could touch. Like, exactly.
Yeah, I think culturally, black folks, man, we really obsessed with, like, stuff. Like, as far as, like, just having,
like, things.
Yeah, things. Yeah. It's like, motherfuckers, I just seen motherfuckers literally go broke trying to, like, buy shit and impress people that don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they look up at the end and nobody got nothing for them. Ain't nobody gonna talk about the good times. Like, that shit is gonna be like, man, you broke and you a dickhead and fuck you. Like, it's just gonna be that. And it's just like, man, what did you do it for? Nothing. Like, and at the end, it's like nothing. And I think if more people realize that at the end of that road of trying to impress people and getting out your body and all that, trying to show off that nobody really gives a shit, people would be more comfortable just being themselves
and just grinding
it the fuck out until they really solidify and can stand on their own too and really be in a position to do whatever the fuck they want.
Like, I think about people like Jim Carrey is just a random example, but like a living color. He wasn't in no situation nobody was used to. Look how big Jim Carrey is.
Yeah,
but like, think about how many people that was like white actors around him that probably was like, why the fuck you on a living color? What you doing? I'm about to go shoot this film and shoot this film. You on a living color working in by far one of my favorite actors.
Yeah,
when you become a white comedy, I could laugh on it. It's like, damn, Jim Carrey know how to appeal to every part of the crowd from shit like that. Like, I be looking at it like, that should be detrimental to your career, them little points in your career, yeah. and the shit that help you when you get big.
Yeah.
And Living Color don't get the credit that it deserves.
It broke everybody.
Like, when you look at Jamie Foxx winning an Oscar, when you look at Chris Rock making it to the top of stand-up comedy, you look at Jim Carrey destroying box office, all the Waynes came, like, that did, like, and Living Color really was crazy.
It really was crazy.
Yeah. Like, and
that's J-Lo, like a lot of people.
No, J-Lo, David Allen Greer, Tommy Davidson. It's really a lot of motherfuckers that came through that wheelhouse. Yeah.
It wasn't that long.
No, it was four or five seasons.
Yeah. And everybody blew the fuck up.
And I don't know the year Living Color came out, but like,
90.
That's what I'm saying. I was born in 96. So most people my age would be like, what is Stuart talking about? But I really grew up in a household where we was into anything that had anything to do with culture. Like, we was growing up
watching my time.
I had seen every episode.
Oh, no. Why do you still watch this? Like, it's all we had. It's all we had.
That's it.
Real shit, watching television is 20 years old. That's real talk.
Okay, I look at Penn like, damn, like Janet Jackson's so much older than me. Penny was fired. I'm a little ass kid. I'm looking at it like, damn, like the time gap between that shit and it's still classical. You be looking past the black success shit.
Yeah, that shit is crazy as all hell. That's the truth,
though. No, straight up. Back to the music. You also had a situation with Leonard Fournette and Boogie Nation for a minute. How did that come about? And what was kind of like the structure of what was going on at the time when you was with him?
He's the most athletic running back in the league. For me, I still could stand behind Leonard Fournette being like different, like athletic, determined, don't drink, don't smoke, don't party, like diehard football player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like if he could put the same dedications on his all seasons into this music shit, it's no stopping us. Like, he signed Roc Nation Management through sports.
Sports, yeah.
I'm like, damn, we shouldn't be hard to get Roc Nation Management through music.
It's 100 million on the way.
You feel me? So I just was like, Leonard was like, perfect situation. It was a learning experience for both of us. Neither of us really knew what to do with this music industry shit. You feel me? So looking back on it, I'd just be like, Leonard did. Oh, he, like, you feel me?
Did his best.
He did his best. He worked hard as shit to try to make us do something with it. And we, neither of us really knew. You feel me?
Yeah.
And that came about just from him. It might have been a meet pole. If you ask Leonard gonna say he just been listening. He listened to the Philly artists because they do be knowing us.
Yeah.
But I feel New Orleans is up on Philly. We like this.
Yeah.
But I feel like the music alone spoke. It was easy for Leonard to just understand that shit. Like, he was tweeting shit that I said in the Sprinter before we ever had a combo. That was his captions. You feel what I'm saying?
On going back to World Tour, you had a song on there called Torture with Thirsty P. I remember when you first put the joint on Hicks, I was like, yo, who is this nigga? This is my favorite song on here. And how did that collab come about? Because that's like a sleeper record that, like, I don't necessarily know a lot of people up on, but that's like one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, mine too. So that came about, that's really a friend of mine.
Yeah.
From California, from the 40s. We just met because I was wild out California, honestly. Like, who the hell is this Philly nigga in my hood? You feel me? Like, you just running around doing all this shit. I'm trying to go to every event there is to go to. You come from a city like Philly, you come from anywhere.
Right.
That's why Mac was in the middle of Compton with the Mac. You feel me? So it just was like, we built a real all thing. Like, that's actually my friend. Like, that ain't no music shit.
Yeah.
Y'all. That's my real man. He just happened to be hot and shit.
Right.
You know,
he all in. What do you think that, you know, you and Dope Show have been making this partnership and coming together the way that y'all are? What do you think it's going to do for the city and for, like, other creative people in terms of, like, creating opportunity or more business?
Well, I don't know what year Meek got signed. 2009, 10? We could say 10, it might have been 8.
Yeah, it might have been. Let's say 10.
If it was 10, he'd been in the game for 10, 12 years. Like, when did the city have something to stand behind that they know was real, authentic, and they believe in? You feel me?
Yeah.
And I just feel like the Dope Show shit gonna be a perfect example of a nigga who's really been through every aspect of this street shit and just trying to make it in music. And a show company who's been through every aspect of being kicked while they was down trying to build their shows up.
Right.
It's like, we perfect for this shit. Let's really show the world what we on.
Yeah. So what would you say is, like, your immediate next things that you got going on that's going to start to kind of create the tour and the Dope Records legacy?
June 11th, I got TLA. So, okay. I mean, I want to make sure that everybody at TLA June 11th.
Tickets on sale now?
Yeah, tickets on sale now, 100%. I got Boston, July the 26th, if I'm not mistaken, I believe. The 23rd. It's in July. I got Boston. Me, G Herbo, Dirk. You feel me? I got Connecticut with Dirk. I'm going to go slide out Connecticut, see what they talking about. Like, it's just like opportunities is endless. When you with the biggest company that do shows, these labels is knocking down the door for this shit all day long trying to figure out what's going on. You feel me? Live Nation is calling as much as possible trying to figure out how can we help Dope Shows grow. So if Live Nation calling Dope Shows, if Dope Shows grow, Dope Records going to grow, Tour going to be a bigger artist. You know what I mean? I just feel like it's just like a well-oiled machine. No bullshit. It's a Hellcat. Right. The best one out.
Yeah.
My favorite. TRX, my favorite. I'm going to snatch the TRX ASAP so you can see how much it's
Do you feel like you still got more to prove to the maybe to the naysayers or the this person my favorite artist whatever? Do you feel like you still got something to prove to anybody out there?
100%. All the shit I've drank, like most more importantly, I got shit to prove to my homies, like Bus, Brucey, Bert, even the homies that's not here. You feel me? My mom, like I'm promising them I'm gonna get millions of dollars off this shit. I promise them I'm leaving 6 a.m. from the studio, 7:30 a.m. That shit not for nothing.
Yeah,
it's a reason why I'm not stopping this shit. So I feel like I'm never going around this shit to prove. Because if I had $5 million a day, I'd be telling them with proof I can make 10. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was thinking that, like, you definitely don't want to get like comfortable to where you're just like, oh no, we straight now.
Never
comfortable. TRX and you know, like, what you doing?
Right. Never comfortable. I want to feel pressure. I love the pressure. That shit just makes me perform so much better.
Yeah.
Every single time. I was pressured coming to perform at showcases when I was a kid. It was artists there that was way more popular.
Yeah,
there.
Way more season.
I remember Lights Cameras was on a TV show. Everybody knew him. He was at the show rocking the bitch.
Yeah.
Bobbing his head, the whole crowd like, damn, who this? I'm in the crowd. Like, damn, I'm about to perform at this nigga. You like Chad coming down. You on that show?
Lights Cameras.
He was Empire.
Lights is fire, man. Shout out Lights.
Shout out Lights Cameras for sure.
Is there anybody from the city that you like collaborating with?
I like collaborating with the West Side. So I'm going to always go Lee Ford. I'm going to always go D for him. We ain't even ever collab before, but it's nothing for us to collab. Like, I like to collaborate with my side of the city because it hardly ever happened. Who Will Smith collaborated from? That was from what? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
school.
And if he did, we don't know him. So it's like, I like that. It's way more people popular on my side. It's like, let's get this shit run. Let's show them what's fully on the map.
Yeah. I got to give myself some kudos because I was ahead of the curve on the West Side shit years ago 100%. With that concert. And, you know, it didn't turn out the way we all wanted. But it's culture currency. It's a notch in our collective belt because we did that show together. Me, Tour, and Bus did that show together, co-promoted it, everything like that. And we had all the West Side artists on that joint.
Yeah, I look back at that shit and always be like, damn. He was working.
Yeah. And like, we knew. He was right.
You was on. You definitely one of the people that's got the talent.
Now I just need to sign me a rapper. Just a couple millions.
Yeah.
TRP records. Yeah.
Be a man with baseball bats.
I want the labels. I want the people that's rapping in the city to know too. It's these labels. Drop this man.
Right.
I think this shit impossible. They got $47 million budgets to spend on artists a year.
Yeah.
You can't be one of the artists.
Bro, we talked about that yesterday on Patreon, where we were saying, like, I think the main difference between black people and white people is that black people be so obsessed with money, like, we think it's everything. Yeah. And don't think that it's in abundance and that you can always be able to go and get money
and have access to it.
Yeah.
The thing that you said exactly right here is these labels got money to spend. And they all got 47, 50, 60 million to spend. When they come in and revamp a black music department somewhere, we got 75 million. And like when RCA and Columbia redid their structure and shit, they was giving niggas they masters from the door, 4 million, like crazy shit. Yeah. And to where it's like, if you just plug in and you in the right circle of people, you're gonna get the money.
Right.
Whereas, like, you know, with white folks, they just be like, oh yeah, you know, this opportunity don't come, another one will come, whatever, and then 4 days later, a better opportunity come. Whereas us, we be so pressed for the bread, we put ourselves in compromising positions sometimes and like do dumb shit.
All the time. Chasing the money.
Chasing the money.
Yeah. Chasing the dollar, fuck you up. It's a good thing to chase money, but not chase money, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if your hobby got something to do with it, your talent got something to do with it, the last thing you should be thinking about is money. Like, that's going to fuck it up every single time.
It's going to cloud your vision.
It's going to cloud it.
We're going to say it on here because we're so glad we're going to Patreon. Shout out to Alicia. She was saying how these series of interviews y'all are doing, it's highlighting how, one, people got years in the game. You got years in. Mm-hmm. But one thing is people are authentic. And you brought that up in this interview where you said, I'm not doing this shit because my man told me I was nice. I'm not doing this shit to just chase after a check or some hoes. I'm doing this shit because I'm a rap fan. Like, this is my life.
Literally.
And it's like, yeah, you can't beat the grind. You can't cheat. Yeah. You have to, like, have a passion for it, and it's you. The money will come.
Yeah.
But you have to stay true to yourself. And that's one thing we got with Ron, with Barb, with A Boogie, with Rock, now with Tour. It's like, stay true to yourself. The money will find you.
Yeah.
The elevator might only go to the 40th level of it. The stairs might go to the 50.
Yeah.
You want to catch the elevator, you catch a cool 100,000, a few 100,000.
Yeah.
I done took the stairs, it was 50 million at the top of it. Yeah. Just like sometimes you got to be willing to put the work in to get that shit you say you want. You could get it easy. It's easy going, is you going to respect it.
Yeah.
You feel me? If somebody give you 500,000 a day, you go to the casino and win 30,000 a day, you're not going to treat it the same as somebody give you 30,000 to do something. You feel me? It's a whole different ball game. You feel what I'm saying?
I like 30,000. I'm just putting it out there. But nah, that's real. Like Biggie said, climb the ladder to success, that's the lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, everybody has their own path, but your path has to be authentic.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? You can't cheat or beat that.
Yeah, you can't cheat the ground.
No.
And if you do, we're going to notice.
Yeah.
I want y'all niggas that know when y'all come with 4 APs and Richard Moody, 2 Lomos from the rip, that's why niggas ain't fucking with you. You wonder why you ain't showing the climb. Ain't nobody see you grind for that shit. You like a trust fund kid in the eyes of a person who been grinding.
You don't know where that money came from.
Where that shit came from. Like, prime example, I got a lot of niggas in Baltimore. Shout out to Baltimore. My Baltimore niggas' favorite thing to say is that's lead money. Nigga got money out of nowhere. Baltimore had some shit they wore where it was lead in it, and they was giving out checks to people whose family was. Mental state was changed from the lead. They were saying that's what did it. They was giving out millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So a Baltimore nigga hit you with it. That's lead money. In Philly, I feel the same way. It ain't earned. I ain't see your shit.
Philly, Philly is called case money.
It's called case money. P.O.s and shit. They was putting it all together. I mean, I'm just one of them people. I went from a 36 to a 41. I'm going to turn this bitch to the... I ain't even going to lie. I ain't turning the watches in. But I'm saying I'm turning this bitch up further and further and further as
right.
I can go. I don't never want to stop. I want this shit to be the biggest shit you can see. One of the best watches out, I'm going to have. You feel me? And that shit ain't going to come from you playing with this shit. That shit come with dedication, really working to get that shit.
Yeah, no bullshit. No bullshit. You basically announced without announcing. You got a show coming up June 11th at the TLA. I don't want to gloss over that. You headline your own show at the TLA.
Yeah.
That's not no easy feat. That's not no, you know, big artist that came through there. Fucking DaBaby, Lil Baby performed in there once upon a time.
Missy literally said on his album, we just sold out TLA.
Sold out TLA. Like, it was like a big deal. You know what I'm saying? That's a legendary venue.
100%.
So,
I saw my first concert here.
Yeah.
Lil Baby.
So talk about the show itself. Maybe, you know, if you can give us some insight into what you got planned or whatever, and like let people know how tour is coming June 11th at the TLA.
This tour and friends, I'm gonna give y'all a real show. I'm gonna give y'all that 60-40 minute set. That set that ain't like I ain't coming to do 5 songs and giggle and laugh and go home.
Talk some shit in between.
Yeah, and when you leave my show, I want you to say I had to come to the next one. I'm mad I missed it. If you miss it, I want you to say, how the hell did I miss that?
Yeah.
I want everybody to know I'm giving you real shows. I'm giving you real screen work, real performance. I'm not going to stutter. I'm not going to be out of breath. I'm a train for this shit. Like, it's a fight coming up. I want you to really feel this shit. When you leave my show, I want you to say that was the best show in Philly in a while. Every time.
Yeah.
And June 11th, this TLA, this is a big deal for me. I came, I seen every artist in the world on that fucking banner when I'm at Ishiko who's getting my cheese fries. And it was nothing. You feel me? It's finally my turn.
Yeah.
Show up. You mean?
Oh,
show me you support me. Be there. Don't just post it.
I'm promoting it like it's my show.
Yeah,
straight up.
100%.
Straight up, man. I'm proud of you, man. You touched on somebody that's real close to you, Brucey the Rapper. He recently, you know, he recently passed away. Talk about your relationship, what he meant to you, and what he meant to the city.
Brucey the Rapper, that's my flyest homie of all time. Like, this fashion shit, like, we die hard into this shit. We sent each other an archive jacket at 17,000 that was on the runway in 2002. And the only response we could say is, we got to be rich. Like, the response would be like, rather I got 17,000 to spend on this shit right now or not, it's not smart. Like, Grandma was in there. It's like, all the shit that we want, if we really want this shit, we got to be rich for this
rich,
shit.
Yeah.
And I got to get rich for my man. My man wanted this shit for me. Sometimes I felt like more than himself. He was an artist himself. He had put his shit in the back to come to 17 studio sessions with me to close out the album. He won't rap at none.
Yeah.
He won't say, let me get on this song. I like this beat. He in there strictly saying, finish this shit. Finish out strong.
Yeah.
Let's close this second verse. Like, that's a real supporter in my eyes. And he meant so much. He from North Philly. Strawberry Mansion. I'm from West Philly. We not from the same area. It's literally a little couple minutes up the drive. You didn't think you about to be comfortable going back and forth.
And I definitely seen you out there. 100%.
He made me fall in love with Mansion. Like, it's people, it's neighbors in Mansion that's 50 plus years old that see me and say, Tara, what's up? What you got going on? Because of Bruce, he was really a neighborhood legend.
He's a neighborhood hero.
Everybody in his neighborhood respected him. You feel me?
Right.
And if they didn't, they didn't do it in public. They kept that shit behind closed doors. You feel me? Honestly.
Yeah, no, he was definitely a neighborhood hero. Somebody that was definitely in the mix. You know, all the, you know, DJ Boo parties and this and this. I always see Brucey on a flyer, whatever the case may be. He was just somebody that was well-respected, carried himself like a real man. And, you know, it's unfortunate what happened to him.
Yeah, we gonna hold your kids, you know, for life, Brucey the Rapper, 100%.
Yeah.
His son's gonna make sure they reap every benefit that they gonna grow a rapper. Grind hard and shit, they gonna reap the benefits of it. I'm proud of them.
That's honorable. What else, man? What else you got going on coming up? Anything that you want people to know? You know, we got a real intuitive audience. So like, when we put them on the shit, they go. They go right towards it. You know what I'm saying? So
I want to know, I'm bombing on y'all niggas. back, y'all niggas can't fuck with me. I'm sick of the humble shit is like tough for the next 6 months. I'm bombing on y'all niggas. I'm not even gonna lie. I just dropped two projects. Like, one is one all together, it's 19 songs, but it's
an
A-side and a B-side. It's two projects worth of real music, and I'm nowhere near. I'm not even a quarter into my catalog of music.
Yeah.
So it's like, just don't even think you heard shit yet. If you heard it and you loved it, imagine what I've got in store for you. That's what I want the fans to know. Like, I ain't done with this shit at all. My females that's listening, I gave you a whole album for the churches, maybe two female songs. Norma double back and give you five female songs.
Right.
Norma double back and give you five world tour vibes. You a nigga that get fly and get dressed, you want to hear that type of shit, that classy shit, that L.A. mansion party shit. I got that for you. I'm going to just double back and make sure I give everybody what they need to hear because I've been through all that shit.
Right.
Both sides of life, I feel like. The deep in the trenches are the highest house in the hills. No cap.
Yeah. So, one thing you didn't talk about is like your creative process. As far as how you create music. So, you know, everybody got their own different like little method. Give us like an insight, like a bird's eye view of like, you know, what it's like when you are making songs. We talk about the vibe, but like the actual putting the raps down.
Yeah.
Do you write? Do you iPhone it? Punch in? How you do it?
Yeah, it's hard just going there. I hear the beat. The music, the beat is the music to me. So everybody perform differently. To me, the beat is like where I find out which way I'm going with the song.
Got it.
So I definitely don't write. You feel me? I definitely go in there, hear the beat, and give me a certain feel, and words come. I ain't gonna lie. I wish I could explain this shit better for you.
Yeah.
So you can have a process to start off with. You feel me? If you are an artist, but that shit, it just come. I start hearing certain beats, trumpets, pianos, guitars, all that shit. I hear every single instrument in the beat. I ain't hearing
shit. It was crazy. You know, we spoke to rappers, and just when I hear that shit, I be like envious. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some gifted shit. So where like, not really, to where you say you can hear music and just like, all right, I know, like that's how Jay say, man. I hear the beat. Let me go ahead.
That's another person. I remember it was a time where I was like, how the fuck is he freestyling?
Yeah.
Like, literally, you know, that's not amazing to me.
Yeah.
Like, Jay-Z saying his freestyle's album is not amazing. The whole album for the trenches was a freestyle.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? That's shit. Crazy. That's how I look at it. So it's like,
I sat down and tried to rap. You know, you everybody all did. Yeah. You get the video, like, I got the glow. You're like,
that ain't no good.
So when I hear that shit is amazing. That it's like, no, like, you're that gifted to where it's like, oh yeah, I know which one I'm going on. So
I feel it. The first couple of music is a feel for me way more than this. Let's see if we can make the world like this song. Right. Let's find a big record. No, that's a feel.
In terms of shit, I lost my train of thought.
It happens. Yeah. We're getting old.
What
I do?
We need a perk.
I got some hairs. I'm back. He really stuck.
Yeah, I really forgot. This shit is bad.
What did it?
It was something about his music and stuff.
Well, he's a rapper, so that
yeah, that's very broad.
That's not too far.
That's very broad. Come back to me. I'm GW, man. Come back to me. Give me a second.
Do you have anybody you want to collaborate? Like, is anybody want to get, like, you got a checklist? Like, you want to actually get some work done?
So sad to say, I might not never be able to get no music with the late great Jay-Z. You feel me? Like, he's so older. And this shit, he might not never rap. But look again, 444 was good enough for me to never hear a Jay-Z rap again.
Yeah.
But if he dropped tomorrow, I'm not listening to none of y'all niggas until that shit is all the way consumed.
Yes, and 70 Jay-Z is amazing.
Yeah, like 70-year-old is that. So it's like, outside of that, I mean, of course you got like the Drakes, you got the Kanye's, like real cultural influences, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not in a rush to work with artists, I feel like. Accomplishments ain't better. Like, some artists got better accomplishments than they raps.
Oh, okay.
Maybe because of the part they're from.
Yeah.
So I want the artists who actually raps match up their accomplishments. So I always name the Big Fish, you feel me?
Yeah.
It might cost me 1.5 to get Drake on the record. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Catching off a bender.
I be free.
This shit's on fire and need to be free. You know, he might. People tuning in my man Chad. So go holler at y'all, man. Y'all went to high school. Go tell him. It's a nigga out of Philly. The hottest nigga out there.
Yeah. You catch Drake fresh off of $4 million at the roulette wheel.
You might just get it. He'll choo choo train guy in the casino. He don't fuck around in that casino.
Yeah, you know he has money in stake.
Yeah, so he's out of control.
Yeah,
he posted a video the other day. He was playing roulette on stage and he showed his joint he had hit. He was like 2.135 million. I'm like, this nigga's crazy.
That's one thing I say about Meek too. Meek really gambled. You feel what I'm saying? Like Meek, I seen this shit on I forgot what it's called, the Michael Jordan documentary. It's on Netflix.
Oh, Last Dance.
Last Dance. And it was basically saying on the Last Dance, like, Michael Jordan is super competitive. Like, he is nothing. You can be trying to play cards with this nigga. That's what I got from Meek. Meek helped me be way more competitive. And I just want to bring the competitive shit back to rap. There was a point in time where we could come on an interview and say, I'm the best rapper in this world. Fuck the city. I'm better than, and you can name him. And nobody felt no type. The next day it was like, let's just bring it to me.
Remember when Kendrick did the joint and named the name?
That seems crazy.
As long as they know how to take it. You didn't know if it was a diss, if it was a shout. You had niggas mad that they got mentioned and niggas mad that they didn't get it.
So I'm trying to understand.
I'm trying to avoid the fuck. I was saying, I'm going to go.
So it's just like, let's get this shit rolling. Ready competition back to hip hop. This shit not supposed to be fun and games. You ain't supposed to always be linking with a nigga you know with his music hot. I don't know, you think your music hot.
Yeah. Y'all know how much I diss old basketball, but I will say that, like, when the Heat played the Knicks, it was a rivalry.
Yeah.
When the Celtics played the Lakers, we don't fuck with
y'all. Come on,
Patrick,
I'm a Celtics fan. This is my best friend. Y'all, we don't talk if we about to play.
Y'all,
like, I'm literally texting him fly shit. Like, literally.
Like, Patrick, you and Trey said that when they was playing, when he was in the Knicks, Pat Riley was the coach. He said in the interview, was like, if you foul somebody and they fall to the ground, he's like, if you reach down to help them up, Pat Riley would make you run less.
Man.
Like, what the fuck was you doing in the game?
Fuck, helping like I can say about playing for the West Philly Panthers, bro, at a young age, where we played, we fought arms bleed. If your arms wasn't bleeding in your helmet, they had 16 different colors on it. You wasn't on shit that game. I don't care what you did. You couldn't stop the last tackle of the game. MVP going to that nigga that was running around that field all day. You could have got the most important play. That shit don't mean nothing like it mean you working.
Yeah, effort.
That effort is everything. I want to see you all aspects of the field. Like, I want to see you all over that bitch.
Yeah, that's real shit.
All right, so, man, I think we pretty much covered everything.
This has been great.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. Bus, you got anything you want we miss, man?
Just stay tuned, man.
Bus back here, Jerry. Bus is talking about
look, we ain't push no buttons yet. None. No, so if y'all think it's, we did, we ain't do shit yet. Man, I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
I ain't even tapping the money shit I got.
One calendar, what calendar year, man? We look back on this interview, y'all. Y'all gonna understand what we meant.
No, man, I love y'all niggas. I appreciate the fact that y'all wanted to do this here.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
This has been a long time. I've been on his bumper for a year about this shit, but things happen when they supposed to.
Right.
Especially on this run of interviews we on now, where it's like we highlighting the city and this Black Renaissance and all the dope shit motherfuckers is doing. You a very important figure in all this. And I've been telling you that for 5 years.
Yeah.
Literally, man. So, you know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of y'all. All the shit y'all doing together. He stuck with him. It was times where he was disenchanted with music, whatever, and just living life and doing everything he's doing. It would have been easy for him to say, all right, well, I'm going to just go do other shit, whatever, right, and never waver. Like, right. And y'all brotherhood is important, man. And I want to highlight that before we leave, because it's important that how y'all rep each other and y'all stick together. I love that shit.
For sure.
No, that's real shit. Like, I'm late to knowing that shit. You know, it's just, that shit is important. Because, like how you said, you kind of got uninspired with it. You know how I was.
Yeah.
Right. Jack could have easily just been like, all right, well, I'm doing a podcast for my own school. And he literally was like, answer the fucking door, man. I'm just like, yeah, like, really? Yeah. No, that's real. You need that
person around you that see the future for you and they want it for you as bad as they would want it for themselves.
Right.
Not somebody that's it's easy to see the potential. I could see a nigga put two basketballs on both sides 60 times. I'm gonna be like, this nigga fire.
Yeah.
He only 5-6 years old, he can do that. But like, are you willing to go as hard as he is to take this shit to other sites? I wouldn't want nobody else speaking for me outside of us if I was I know he gonna hold the shit on my head every single time.
Yep.
And that's why I think that's why it works so good with us, because the same thing I want for me is what I want for him. So when I go in the room, I'm really controlling like it's me.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for me because that's me. You get what I'm saying? Towards me, I'm toward.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, towards bus. You get what I'm saying? So, when I go in the rooms, I'm controlling it. It's my shit. It's our shit. And I know nobody in the world better than us. So, it's like, if we want to put it in street aspect, like, we got the best dope.
In the world.
Everybody won't buy.
Come on.
You get what I'm saying? We got the best dope for the cheapest numbers. You
know
what I'm saying? That's what it is.
Why wouldn't you fuck?
That scorpion stand.
Everything I ever read.
No, nah, man, but straight up, man, I'm long time coming. Glad that y'all came today, man. This was a phenomenal interview, man. You know, we supported June 11th, TLA tour headline, and that's a big deal. I'm buying 30 tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go.
Straight
let's
up.
Let's go. Let's sell this thing up.
We got to get this thing
from
sold
the city. You want something to support? I'm a real nigga.
They out right now.
Go records, them tickets out right now. We'll buy them bitches.
Yeah.
TLA, make sure
you TLAphilly.com.
Get there early, get your cheese fries. You ain't from the city, you ain't got that. Just get those cheese fries with a gremlin. I'm standing on that shit. I can tell the tourists sent you.
No bullshit. Straight up, man. Oh, give before we dip, social media, where you can find your music, all that time, where to find anything.
I'm West Philly Tour 2T on Instagram, and I'm just T-O-U-R-A, just tour on everything, all streaming platforms. So, you feel me? If you want to find me, just go on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal.
Go stream only for the trenches.
Right now.
Right now.
Volume 1 is more to come.
Yeah.
Make sure you go tune in.
Go stream that right now. Go watch that federal video. Go watch 7 p.m. at Wells Fargo video.
Go get out West Pass 1.1. Go get this shit turned up. Let's go just let's revamp this whole shit.
Yeah,
bro. No, out West was a moment, man. You know, before TikTok really blew up, man, they was on that on TikTok years ago.
I feel like that now, like I look at the drill scene, me and Rico Abbey did a record that was, we was rapping about that shit 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody in Philly rapped about drill scene now. We was rapping about that shit 4 years ago. Yeah. The song unfortunately never got to make it global and get out. It was like SoundCloud to me, then YouTube. It was all these technical.
What was it? Like samples of it or something?
It was like real a lot of problems with the producer.
Oh, okay.
You feel me? But yeah. Then as though it never cleared. It still, I'll be looking at it like we want to be the first ones on shit. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every time around, I just want to be the first one to be doing shit. Like the federal shit, if that's the wave, if I build the wave of young niggas that want to rap like that. I want you to still know how I rap.
Yeah.
Prove
exactly.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Prove to me you still know how I rap, because that ain't all I got.
Yeah. Yo, you gotta help us get Rico Havoc up here, because I heard a rumor that Rico got like an album with Roddy Ricch somewhere. Like
Rico got songs with Roddy
Ricch. I heard he got like a whole album with Roddy Ricch.
Rico introduced me to Roddy Ricch. So when I met Roddy Ricch, he might have had 12,000 followers, 13 tops.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, and we was at Atlantic Records. I was recording in the B room. Rico was in the A room. Of course, he was the artist at the time.
Yeah.
He was running this shit up. We back and forth in and out of each other's rooms. YNW lit. He go by Kobe now. He was there. We used to be working, and Roddy Ricch was just in there, sounding like Tory Lanez and Chris Brown and one of them niggas. I'm like, who is this? Like,
yeah.
And Rico really had real records with him. Like, shit that I know today, if it came out, the whole world would say, this is that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So definitely, I'll do whatever in my power to get.
Yeah, we got a plug, man. TRP Rico Havoc, man. Coming soon. We gotta make that happen.
Yeah, bro. Sure.
Again, man, I love y'all brothers, man. I appreciate y'all. All the success that y'all getting, y'all deserve it. Like, it's a long time coming. Like you said, I know him since he was a pup. He a big dog now. He the biggest dog in the yard now.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even know what the breed of this dog is. It's a beware. It's a beware. The man is fucked up.
Beware.
That neighbor dog that barking. I see. You know that nigga.
Straight up, man. But again, federal, out west, only for the trenches. 7 p.m. Wells Fargo, all that music that's out there. And make sure y'all get them concert tickets right now, today. Concert is on sale, TLAPhilly.com. We stamping that, we standing on it. And that's what it is, man. Tour, Dope Records, Bus, TRPE, we out of here.
Yeah.